Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Click. Hello and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. I'm Zoe, and as usual, I'm here with Lizzie.
Hello.
And we are going to talk about Andor again. Episode 4 came out. I don't know if we'll get to it. We can at least get through maybe the second episode, maybe third. We'll see what happens. I mean, I feel like we got through a lot of our like initial thoughts about the series as a whole last time, mm-hmm. which took up. So we can maybe get through more episodes this time. We'll see. You know, well, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
Yes.
So
being optimistic.
Yes. So spoiler-free thoughts are in the previous episode. I would recommend you listen to that. I think we're just going to jump straight into episode 2 this time. Just because we already spoiler-free a lot. So,
yes.
You know. All right. So, episode 2. I got to, like, the episode just, you know, because they all came out at once. It's like, they're kind of all one thing in my brain. So, got to divide it up a little bit. So this one actually starts with flashback Casa.
Yes.
And they're going towards that wrecked ship that crashed.
Yeah, is all the little children.
All the children. Yeah. And this, I want to talk about the ship, because I was really confused. But they cleared up on StarWars.com, because the people from the ship have separatist patches, like their logo on their arm is all separatist. Then Marva says, oh, like, these kids killed a Republic officer, the Republic's gonna get them. I was like, what, like, wait a second. So StarWars.com cleared it up. It's this takes place not during the Clone Wars, like I think a lot of us assume, but before the Clone Wars. So the Separatists were still a subset of the Republic.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure exactly what, like, the situation was. Like, are the Separatists, like, at this point, like, kind of half out? Or, like, is, like, were the Separatists a little bit? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they'll explain it. Maybe they won't. I would like a book of the politics, personally. I would read that so hard. But yeah, so they are, the Separatist symbols are there. We weren't crazy, but it is still Republic because it was before the Separatists broke off. Why they had a different logo, don't know, but that's the situation.
Yes. I honestly was confused, and I was like, I'll just figure it out later.
I was, well, because during the premiere, it was like we were all talking about after, we were like, I don't understand, like, those are Separatist logos. Why was it, like, was Marva wrong? Like, that was kind of my assumption, like, was Marva just wrong? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but turns out, no, she wasn't. We were wrong, so.
No, we were just not knowing.
Not informed on the exact place and time.
Yes.
I think we just assumed it was Clone Wars, but was in fact not.
It was during Saw's certain hair phase.
It was, well, we didn't know Saw yet at this point. But he had black hair.
I mean, we do
in the Clone Wars.
But
not yet. Not before Clone. His first canonical appearance is towards the end of Clone Wars. So he could have had like green hair.
I was still thinking that this was during.
No, it was before.
This is all over.
Because they weren't separate. I just explained it.
I know. My brain doesn't understand. It cannot comprehend right now.
Speaking of Saw's hair, I just posted an article today, or probably yesterday when you listen to this, about Saw's hair on StarWarsGeekGirl.com. So you can read that if you would like. But yeah, we don't know what Saul's hair was this time. It was probably similar to his Clone Wars hair, but for all we know, it could have been purple.
He's getting, yeah, purple, of course.
Purple.
His yeah. highlights, too.
Highlight purple with, like, blue highlights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the vibe, I think.
That's where Sabine got her inspiration.
It's a rebellion tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yes, so flashback, they're going.
They go, so they see this big mine that was seems pretty abandoned, like no one's mining anything. It's this huge like quarry. And then that's where the flashback actually cuts off. And then we go back to your dad's favorite character.
Yes.
In the present, the Time Grappler. It's a sick name.
Mm-hmm.
For It's like a very cool name for a guy who like beats an anvil with hammers.
He's keeping the time. He's grappling mm-hmm. it.
He wakes everyone up in the morning and tells everyone to go to bed at night.
Yeah.
I want to set that as my alarm, I think.
Hmm.
But he's like he has this whole little like ritual. Like he does a little like no one can see it. It's just him in his little tower.
Maybe it's like a family tradition, like it passes on generations.
It has to be something.
Of being the time grappler.
For sure. There has to be some kind of tradition or significance to it, because like there's no reason for it. Like,
I mean, it's just like a
outside of tradition. Which is cool. I think it's really cool that like this town, despite all the advancements, have this little tradition. Like I said last episode, like it really adds to the like world building of like this town has like their way of doing things and it's how they prefer to live and they don't really want anyone to interfere with that. So yeah, we stand the Time Grappler.
Yes.
He has this whole little like dance ritual thing he does, like get himself all hype.
And then
Tim and Bix. And Tim asks Bix to go out, and she's like, maybe another time. And then Tim checks his little computer, and he gets the news that the Primor are looking for a Canary Man.
And he's like, wow, I know that, because that one time my girlfriend told me randomly. I don't know how it would
listen,
come up.
Listen.
I don't know. Okay, no. I just mostly don't understand how it would come up.
I mean,
like, why?
You know, what if,
like, would you go to a friend and be like, yeah, my friend Lizzie, she's Mexican. Like, she's from Mexico. Like, it's kind of an awkward thing.
Well, I mean, what if they're talking about, like, what, like, where people are from? Or, I don't know, like, or what if he's asking about, like, he's like, oh, yeah, casting guy you're friends with, you know? And he's like,
and she's just like, the dude and from Canary?
I don't know. Sure, but you know, I feel like we don't know how long, like, it's, I think we can probably safely assume this is like at least several years long thing, probably longer. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of time to have a weird random conversation, you know?
I guess.
If we're really getting into it,
just go like, yeah, my friend is from this place.
And then, I mean, you know, if it's relevant, like, if they're talking about that? Where oh people God. Are from, or if, I don't know, like, what if Canary came up? Because, like, apparently there was a report that it was, like, wiped out in a mining accident. And he was like, oh, Canary. And she was like, oh, my friend's from Canary.
That makes a little bit more sense.
You know, there's a lot of ways it could just slip out, you know?
It sounds still awkward, and I have no idea why he needed to know. Especially when he's so jealous of Cassian. Cassa.
True, sure, but like, I don't know, like, if Cassian was going around telling people, apparently, she probably didn't think it was a big deal. You know what I mean?
Still upsetting, but I understand. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, wow, I definitely know a person from Canary that is male with dark features. And I, you know, I guess the entire time he's like thinking about it and he's like, nah, I shouldn't. And then I don't know what happens in the middle, but like he gets drunk.
Well, after, so he, and also it was, so like the thing on the screen, it came up in Arabic, and then they put it in English, like on this, like put text on the screen in English, like translating it, which was cool. Because I don't think Star Wars has really done that before.
Yeah,
they're like, they show you a screen in Arabic, and then they show you, and then they like translate it for you. Like, mm-hmm. it's not, and it wasn't even like just in the subtitles. It was like a part of the shot, basically. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting and kind of cool. Because, you know, there's a part of me that's like, I can read Arabic, but I'm like, you know, this is next. This is a lot easier.
Yes.
So after that, then Cassian goes to Marva, and we kind of get a little bit of, because at this point we haven't seen Marva before. We kind of get feeling she's like basically his mom, and B2 is there as well. B, please call B. Keep calling him B2. B.
B.
And it, Cassian has a mark on his face from the fight with the two Primor. In episode,
he's like, I fell.
He says, I fell on his face.
It's like when, I don't remember which Spider-Man it was. No, was it a Spider-Man? I don't remember, but he, like, someone falls, and then, like, the mom is like, what happened? He's like, I dropped my shirt.
Oh, I think that was Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Okay.
I would be his Aunt May. Come on.
I don't remember.
Mom.
I especially don't remember the Andrew Garfield one.
We don't hate on Andrew Garfield on this podcast.
No. I don't hate it. I just don't remember it.
We respect
it. I watched it like years ago.
I did a Toby and Andrew Spider-Man rewatch before No Way Home came out, because I was like, technically there's rumors, but I want to be prepared just in case. I'm glad I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway, so we get like a feel in this conversation that Marva is basically Cassian's mom. And she's like, why haven't you been home? And he's like, oh, well, I was just out working, staying with people. And then Marva tells B, oh, and before Cassian came in, Marva was like, don't say anything, B. And then Marva's like, B, tell him what Primor came up, and B is like, I can talk now. And he's just so precious. He's just so precious. And so yes. B relays the thing that the Primor sent out looking for a Canary male. And this is when they argue, and Marva's like, who'd you tell? And Cassian's like, well, you told people. And she's like, everyone I told was dead. I'm worried about all your women. And starts just like listing names.
Yeah.
Vix included. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Cassian, I see you. And then they mention that like all this
who legal could resist the handsome face of Cassian.
And they mentioned that all those legal documents say Fest, which is a nice little detail, because in the Rogue One visual dictionary, Cassian is listed as being born on Fest. So it's like a cool thing where they like kind of retconned it, but they like acknowledged it, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. And then she's like trying to figure out who he told, and he's trying to figure out who she told, and it's a whole thing.
Well, he realizes that it was from him asking about Canary in the brothel.
Yeah.
Is what Tippin wants. He realizes like, yeah, it's his fault. And then Marva's like, Cassian, like, what'd you do? And he's like, I messed up.
I messed up.
And then Cassian meets up with Vix, and he tells her what happened, and he's trying to sell a piece of his box thing, so that he can help get her to help him get off world. And Vix tells him that the buyer she called is coming, and it's too late to call it off. So he's going to get a lot of money, and Cassian's very grateful. And then Tim is watching. Is this when they're in the bar, I think? Yeah, this is in the bar. They meet in the bar, yeah. And Cassian, like, grabs her hand. It's like, I won't forget this. And Tim is, like, across the room watching, and it's like, oh, God.
Yeah, and that was when she was like, no, I can't hang out tonight.
She literally pulled her hand away. She's like, dude, like, chill. You know, people can touch hands. It's
fine. Oh, it didn't seem like he, like, later on, he didn't say anything about it. He definitely ain't saying anything after episode 3, thank right. goodness. But,
no, but it's like, literally, man, people can touch hands sometimes when they talk. Just chill.
But also, yes, but also they were together before.
Were they?
As it seems. It's, like,
I don't know, 100, maybe, probably. But.
Well, because even, like, Marva mentions it.
Well, see, she could also be doing, like, a mom thing. Or not, like, a mom thing, but, you know, she's, like, anytime Cassie talks to a girl, she's like, Cassian, I know what you're doing, even if it's, like, nothing. You know what I mean?
I guess so. But also, the fact that that guy is so jealous, and then also when he mentioned, like, before, like, she's always upset when you come
back. She did also blow him off to meet up with Cassian.
Yeah. So it's a little iffy, but I also, can, like, I feel like he should trust her if that's the kind of relationship they should have.
Well, he doesn't, like, talk to her. He's not like, hey, I saw you with Cassian.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Yeah, like, no, he just kind of keeps it to himself, and then later is like, well, I'm drunk, I'm gonna report this man.
Yeah, he also drinks at the bar as well. So then he goes and
there's no healthy communication here.
No.
In the start of this relationship.
No. So then after he drinks a little at the bar, and then he goes to, it looks like it's like a little like room with like a whole bunch of communicators. The best way I could contextualize it is like a bunch of payphones, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But he does, and he calls and he tells him Cassian Andor, and the team checks and they're like, oh, and they list off like a bunch of crimes he committed, because of course he did. And then including insurrection, which I thought was interesting. On there, because you know, I feel like we very much get the feeling of like Cassian at this point does not want anything to do with the Empire, or at least that's what he wants people to think. But his charges include like insurrection, destruction of Imperial property, assaulting an Imperial officer. Like, there's still very much a resentment against the Empire and a want to fight back, even if he doesn't want to necessarily admit it.
Mm-hmm.
But they bring up a picture of Cassian. He's a little bit of a baby. He looks younger.
Yeah, no beard. Beard.
No beard. I like kind of forgot that Cassian doesn't have a beard in Rogue One, because very quickly got very used to him with a beard. Andor, I see Cassian's got a beard. I'm like, oh yeah,
baby.
He looks like that too. But they pull up the picture and they bring in the woman from the brothel, and they don't really show it, like, but they just bring her and you're like, like, you know what's gonna happen, they don't need to show it. And then Bix goes over to Tim's place, they go to bed, and then, and this is when everyone's like, oh my god, Andor invented sex. And it's like, you haven't read Lost Stars, so
yeah, you haven't read Lost Stars. Kind
Lost
of
Lost Stars, Rebel Rising.
What else? There's Dark Disciple, like
Dark Disciple. I forget which High Republic book, but a couple of the High Republic books. Even in like Revenge of the Sith, like Anakin's shirtless and Padme's back. Come on, and they've got people been making babies in Star Wars.
Yeah. Like, when people say, oh, we've been trying for a baby, it's weird, because you know what they're doing. Where do you think
they were coming from? Or even, like, what else? Or the, oh my god, Brotherhood. It's that book. Yeah. Anyway, people, like, made a really big deal about it. It's like, all right.
It was definitely
a little bit steamier than what we're used to in screen Star Wars. Steamier. Well, it was. It's like more than we're used to in screen cards, but it was still
they kissed. Oh, I don't know why I said they cooked.
I don't know. I feel like cooked. It's still in your mind. I just feel like, I don't know. It was like it was definitely more than what we're used to in Star Wars. It was also like, all right, calm down. Like, Yeah, do we really need like three articles on this from like every news site? Like, let's relax here.
I think it's at first I was like, oh, hold up.
Well, see, at first I was like, how far is this gonna go?
Yeah,
I was like, I don't know if I want. I don't know if I want to see this. Generally.
Yeah, that's what my mind was at. I was like, wait a second, wait. Hold on, my parents are watching this with Axel right now. and then nothing really happened, and then it was fine. And then I didn't think, I don't know if you listened to the podcast with my dad and I, but my dad, like, I thought we were just not going to discuss it. I thought we were just going to, like, you know, just go over it. And then my dad was like, so Lizzie, how did you think about the booty call? And I was like, the what?
It was a booty call. It was, I think I did watch, and see yours, and I watched Steel, and he was like, yeah, it was the first Star Wars booty call.
Yeah, they're all calling it the Star Wars booty call.
It was a Star Wars booty call.
So,
you know, good for her. Good for her. And, you know, call. I think Steel also said, give Tim a little bit of happiness at the end, and, you know.
I mean, I don't know if he's happy in the morning.
I don't know if he deserves it, but you know,
and last minute booty call.
Yeah,
last one.
one last booty call for Tim.
Yeah.
He
did, but my thing was like, I didn't like him sitting down, like just staring. That was creepy. I know he was.
Oh,
like,
yeah, when she like, woke up and he was like in and, the chair, like, he's upset
or whatever, and he's like, "I couldn't sleep." I'm like, "Dude,
look, no, like else. at least lay in bed, not sleeping." Like, bro, what? Literally sitting on the chair, staring at her sleep. It's like, or like go like I don't know, go like read a book or something. Like,
go make the coffee before she wakes up. Come on, man, bro. What are you doing?
Anyway.
But that happens
right after that, and then during this, the his name is Sergeant Linus Mosk, which I just think fits really well. I can't explain why, I just think it does. And this guy shows up, and he's very like we thought Cyril was intense, sweet, and he is, but this guy is also very like he's matching the energy more than like any of the other Primor.
He reminds me of all of the people in my class that usually. A good amount of them come from the military, and they're very much like yeah. that. And I'm no, like,
this
oh,
guy
wow.
is this guy
it's
was
just a
the
chef. Calm down.
This guy was the ROTC kid for sure.
Yes,
but, where Cyril is the wannabe cop criminology major. This guy is the ROTC kid. as he's like very stiff, like salutes, like half shouting everything he says. He's like, he's very intense. It's really funny. Yeah.
He's definitely a like a homie if you are a homie to him. Like
I can respect that. This guy would be ride or die for sure.
Yes,
I can respect that.
I don't like him, but he seems to be very loyal.
You know, yeah, I'll give him that. So we're gonna cut back to Cassian. He has another flashback. It's the girl who I guess was confirmed. She is 16, the leader girl, which I assume she's like the oldest, so everyone's younger than her, which is really sad that the 16-year-old is the oldest. But so they go to the crash starship and they find like they're like bodies, and they look, I know some people were debating if they were human or alien. I think they were all human. They were just like yellowy from that whatever that gas was that was leaking.
They didn't look human to me, especially because some of them had masks on and they were still yellow.
I don't know. I thought they looked human, just yellow and like bloated looking from gas, like whatever this chemical, like weapon or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. They had some facial features that didn't look human though. So I'm trying to think. I don't know. I can't find a picture of it. Axel probably deleted it.
I'm looking up pictures. I'm trying to look up pictures right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't see any.
Well, like that one guy that got up and shot was definitely human.
There's something about him that didn't seem.
I don't know. Everyone, I was like, you guys are human. They just got like messed up from whatever this gas is. You know what I mean?
Let's see. I do not know, but yeah, they are
like that one guy he finds in the ship. Like, I felt like he was definitely human and like yellowy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the only picture I can find is from a YouTube thumbnail and it says, "What is going on here?" It's just, like, I feel like that was definitely human. That guy's definitely human, just a little messed up. And so I was, you know, maybe some of them weren't human, but I felt like most of them were human. Just messed up.
Yes.
I put a picture on the notes. I don't know. Regardless, they're, like, dead. Whether they're human or not, they're dead, and this yellow gas has something to do with it. Yes. So, like, part of that.
What's going on here?
What's going on here? And the red circle zooming in.
Yeah.
It is the Star Wars Explained video, which I like Star Wars Explained. I just think YouTube thumbnails are a very funny genre.
Yes, they're very specific.
And I get it, you know, get to the clicks. You know, I respect the hustle. It's just funny. So we also see Lupin. I think this is the first time we see him in the show. He flies in with his little ship, and there's a droid voice talking to him. Like, the droid is the ship, essentially, which is interesting because it just reminds me of L3 being in the Falcon, except she doesn't get to talk.
Yeah,
which is sad. I think she should. She's very funny.
Talks in her own way.
Yeah, so he's going down and he's trying to find a good place to land, and he has to land far away. And he lands in like a little canyon, and then he
has to walk the entire way. Well, no, kind of walk to a station.
Yeah, walk to like a shuttle station to fly into town. Then we get back to the Hammer Man, the Time Grappler. Wakes everyone up. This is when Tim is staring at her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is weird.
Like,
makes her some my, cat.
Like, if I couldn't sleep and like I knew this person was probably gonna wake, like, just go, don't stare up. Just like go make coffee, go brush your teeth. I don't know. Like,
go to it, like, literally do anything besides sitting in a chair staring at them until they wake up. Like,
creepy.
You can do anything else.
Like, Bix, come on. Come on.
When he makes her some calf, which was nice. And I think this is one of the first times where they say calf in Star Wars.
Calf.
I feel like I could be wrong, but I feel like I read it all the time. But I don't know if they really say it. Even when we see it, like, even when Kanan gets Hera calf in Rebels, he's not like, here's calf. He just, like, hands her the cup. You know, it's a little thing. And she asked for Tim to open up their little like repair shop thing.
Mm-hmm.
For her, and she is, because she has some errands to run. And then Andor gives B a comm so they can talk to each other.
Yes.
Which
is important for later.
It is. And then, and then Marv is looking for B, because Cassian took her to Bacomsa, and she goes into Cassian's room, and he has a little toy Bantha, which is really cute.
Mm-hmm. And a stick.
People are complaining about lack of Easter eggs in this show, don't know what Easter eggs are. I'm just gonna say, well, they're, I don't know. Okay. I'm holding this in. But they're like, oh, like Boba Fett had lots of Easter eggs. And what does it? No, Book of Boba Fett did not have Easter eggs. Easter eggs are tiny little details that you notice. Book of Boba Fett had, hey guys, holy shit, look, it's Cad Bane. That's not an Easter egg. That's a character existing in the
plot.
Anyway.
That's a chicken.
That's a whole chicken. Or it's, well, Easter eggs. It's a whole Easter bunny. That's the whole, yes, Easter bunny.
An Easter egg. I don't know where those chicken eggs come from, but yeah.
The Easter egg is like, oh, look at that little, like, or like a little nod to something, or like, oh, that little detail, like little reference. I mean, Boba Fett did have Easter eggs, but that's not what people are, I don't know. Anyway, sorry, I was holding that in for a while. His little Bantha toy is really cute. sorry. And then, oh my gosh, sorry, someone should draw a little Jin with her little stormtrooper toy and little Cassian with his little Bantha toy, and they could have the stormtrooper toy ride on the Bantha toy. And they're playing together, and they're little babies.
Little babies?
Little babies.
Little babies with no trauma?
Little baby rebels. Anyway.
How much older do you think Cassian is to Jin?
Quite a bit. I mean, if he's... I would put him at, like, maybe... I think he's about, like, 8 or 9 in the flashbacks. And if those are before the Clone Wars...
Because she was baby when he was baby when it was Empire.
Jin was born, if I'm remembering correctly from Catalyst, Jin was born like right at the end of the Clone Wars. She was born 2 years before the end of the Clone Wars. So if we're assuming we're going to put the Andor flashback right before Clone Wars, which it could be a little... could be a little even earlier, but if we put it right at before Clone Wars, so he's as young as he can be essentially, and he will say he's 8. Yeah, 8 seems, put him at 9, then he has 11 years on her, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So
she was quite a big gap.
Yeah, so she would have been 21. In Rogue One, which would put him at like early 30s. And then he'd be like in mid to late 20s in the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look up references for little baby Cassian. But anyway.
I mean, you know, we can, you know, time travel, they can both be babies at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, so that happens. Sorry for the dog.
And she finds the staff.
Yes.
I thought it was a bow at first. It's just a strap.
I thought it was a walking cane.
You know, I mean, it could be both. You know, who's to say you can't walking cane a staff? Who's to say you can't staff a walking cane?
I mean, you're right. Someone used a walking cane for their lightsaber. Yoda That's does true. It. That other guy does
Paris
it.
Paris Anube does it. Or even like Rey, she has her staff and she hits people with it. And she also uses it to help her walk on the sand. Mm-hmm. Versatile.
Yes.
Anyway, we get another flashback. Oh my gosh, plot twist. Marva was psychometrying the staff. Quinlan Vos lives. Just kidding. Quinlan Vos is Marva, actually. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, they just transition in many ways, and then
it's a big change. It's a big change, but you know, he would have to get a lot older too, I think. But you know, it's mm-hmm. just that's his life sometimes. You know,
he liked it.
So this is when we get, and they get to the ship, and there's the. All the yellow people, like with the people with like the yellow gas and stuff, and they like some of them masks, some of them don't. Their Wikipedia just says humanoid, so who knows? Mm. And they're all dying, and the 16-year-old has all the other people wait back, all the other kids wait back, and she's walking. She's being pretty careful, but one of the dead bodies is not a dead body, and he stands up. That was like, oh man, it was really well done, because it was because we have a shot of her walking, and it's very out of focus, very blurry, but in the background you can see the movement of one of the white jumpsuits, and immediately it's like, oh no.
Yeah, which also sucks, because it seemed like Casa saw it,
mm-hmm.
and then wasn't sure what maybe to do.
Right, and it's very well done, because it's, you know, easy to miss, but it's still possible. I don't know. I really like how they did this scene. Mm-hmm. But he shoots her, and she goes down, and all the kids start shooting, like, darts. Like, they have, like, little blow dart things. Start shooting darts. I think some of them throw stuff. but it takes a while. It takes a lot of darts, but eventually he falls. And then they go over to the girl who is dead, sadly. Yeah, or appears dead.
Died. It was
never,
so.
You never know with Star Wars, but I think she's dead.
I think she was like dead. Like her eyes were open. Like that, yeah. That's where you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It was really sad. The kids are crying. It was very well done for these child actor extras. They did like a good job of like crying and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it was props like to those horrifying.
Kids. Props to those kids, like seriously. But young Kessa, who's also a great actor, I don't know what that kid's name is, but he was a really, really good job. Looks like
Baby Axel.
he does a really good job at playing this character. I'm always very impressed by child actors. Because you know the age old thing is like, never work with kids or animals. So when kids do a good job, I'm very impressed. So for film, I guess you can work with kids and animals in other ways, but for film, it's always like, never work with kids or animals. So they had a lot of kids. All of them did a really great job. Props to those kids.
Yes.
And Casa does a really great job. So all the other kids start to carry this girl home. But Casa stays and climbs into the ship with the yellow gas emitting from it and all the dead bodies. So.
Yeah. Which is probably horrifying to do.
Good on him, Casa. I could never, even as an adult.
Yeah.
Especially by myself. Absolutely not. So then we get back to present day. And Cassian goes up to this little building, and I really love, okay, what's his name? Granick. I really love this little guy.
Little guy.
The little guy. You know what I'm talking about? The little guy.
No.
There's that the little shopkeeper, or the guy who runs like travel or whatever, like ships. Because Cassian's trying to get on a ship to get out.
Like, oh, the orange one?
Yeah, well, it's like the guy, and then there's like the little dude that he's talking to, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Oh, you ever hear of a place called Canary? It was abandoned following an Imperial mining death. It's interesting. I'm very curious to learn, because it looks like it was already pretty abandoned before even the Clone Wars. Now it's like an Imperial mining disaster happened. Like, very curious to learn more about that." Anyway, so Cassian's trying to get a ship. He wants, like, no questions as soon as possible. He's like, that's going to be a lot of money. And he and Cassian hide a little bit. And there's, like, a little guy. I don't know. I just like him. The little alien guy. He's just really cute. And they're, like, arguing. He's like, you never heard of it either. Because they're arguing about Canary. Because he's like, you ever heard of Canary? And Cassian's like, no. Why did I say it like that?
Can't. Of course not.
Cassian. I don't know why I said it like that.
You're just being like Luthen. Cassiander.
Cassiander. but Cassian's like, no, I never heard of it. I don't know. The little guy's like, wait a minute. I don't know. I liked it. I think this show is like really funny. Like, there's little moments like that that are like really funny. I like it. I don't know. Meanwhile, we go to, this is also really funny. Sergeant Mosk is like, he's like telling them about Andor. He's armed and dangerous, like he's gonna kill us all, like very like hyping it up. And he's like, Cyril Karn, do you want to give a speech? It was really funny. And it's the worst, quite possibly the worst inspirational speech for some troops going in for a mission ever. Certainly in Star Wars.
Yeah, I think it's funny because my dad was like, yeah, he sucked, bro. Like, well, and I was just like, yeah, I felt that though.
No, that was like the probably most relatable scene from this man, for sure.
Yeah,
I was like, that would be
because I was like, yeah, I would have done the same thing because I had to be a like group leader for last semester for the restaurant, and it was all good and fine, and like I didn't mess up like speeches or
me.
anything, but like my speech was just probably as awkward, and oh gosh, which is why I did speeches in text instead. So I feel him, okay? Like not everyone can do it.
It's very awkward and
I just think it was funnier
really.
because of the reaction of his people.
Oh, and like people were yawning and like just kind of doing that awkward like side eye, like looking at each other, like you hearing this man. I don't know. It was like, again, like I feel like we keep talking about like, oh, Andor is these very human moments. We talk about them in the serious one, but like also that like this was a very like we've all been there in at least someone's shoes in that scene. It was just really funny. Yeah. This, oh man, Cyril Karn is just such a like a pathetic little dude. You know, I just wanna like, I don't know, like put him in a freezer or something. I don't know.
Put him in a freezer?
don't know, like preserve, I don't know. That made no sense. I just, you know, like put him in a Ziploc bag. And just like look at him, he's
Like,
so like
you should do that. Like, when they come out
I
with like a black series of these characters, you should get that and then take him,
know,
put him
put him
in
in
like
a
a
plastic
water,
bag.
in a bag with some water and freeze him.
I don't know, he's just I just he's you know he's not like I don't know, he's not like, oh my gosh, little Cyril, I love him. It's just like, oh, you are so like pathetic, like. You're just such a little like little loser weirdo. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm just a little bit obsessed with him and just I just wanna like study him. He's just so funny.
Interesting.
Listen.
An interesting reaction.
I just he's just so he's just a sad little man.
Little guy.
He's still just he's probably pretty tall actually. He looks pretty tall, but he's just like a he's
Lengthy
just like
little man.
he's a still dude. He's, yeah, he's I don't know. He's so funny to me. I don't know why. I just think he's hilarious.
Interesting.
I like
Interesting conversation to have in Andor.
I really like seeing him fail. It's just amazing. He's definitely not like
Also interesting.
I wouldn't put him up with my top characters. Whenever he's on screen, I'm like, "Ha, you little loser."
Wow. I know the
Like in
actor probably
episode
isn't
four.
listening to this podcast, but like, dang, his feelings are
Okay.
hurt.
No, the actor. Okay, the actor's doing a really great job. I
Okay.
have to say. He is. He's doing a great job. He's really like he's really phenomenal acting. It's just, I just think the character is really funny. Yeah, so there's a little plan. Oh, and then this is another very, again, very human, very hilarious moment. Luthen is on the little bus.
No. I
It
hated this with all of my being. It's
was
like the
so
number one thing I fear.
was so uncomfortable, but it was so funny because it's like, yeah, like I've been there. Like that happens. Like it hasn't happened to me in LA yet, but in Philly, like people just start like I would be on the subway all the time. People just like start talking to you. And Yeah, this and this guy, and this other guy just comes up. He's like, he's got like a very like curly little mustache. He's a very specific look to him.
Yeah,
like he's very much like little British guy from a watercolor painted children's book. Like, you know what I mean?
Interesting. Yes.
You know? Do you see it though?
Yes.
Like, and he goes, and he's just, and he's like, yeah, like, you know, like we're really taking all our money. Like everything's so expensive now, and just like going on. And I was like, it's just so, like I've been there, and Luthen doesn't even. I don't think he says hardly anything. I think he maybe answers.
He doesn't say. No, he says not. He just looks at him.
He just looks at him.
So funny because I couldn't. I wouldn't even know what to do. I'd be like, why is it? Because he's talking from the other side.
And then he moves over to sit. And he just keeps talking. Like, Luthen just looks at him and he's like, it's like, I don't want to answer the question. I get it. And it keeps going. It was so funny. And he's like, but about like prices, like back in my day, like
it's so bad.
It was really funny. I was like, yeah, like I've been there. I feel you, Luthen. Like, and I would do the same thing. I would sit there. I would not say anything. I would maybe be like, oh yeah, like no real conversation. Just and they just talk at you. It's just so funny.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that much. But, like, it's just a fear. But every now and then in the kitchen, people will do that. I'll just be doing my own thing. And they're like, so anyway, like, I went to this thing yesterday. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't know you. And
that's where we end the episode, I think. It was great. Episode 2 was so much peak comedy. Like, there's a lot of serious plot development, all that. But it's also very funny.
I hate it.
It
was so awkward and it made me want to cry.
It was really funny though. So we get to episode 3 and we again start with Casa and he's in that ship. And he keeps seeing all these bodies. He like pokes one of the bodies to make sure it won't come back up, like the one that shot the leader girl. And then he walks into the like control room and he like sees all these like buttons and stuff and he's like, wow, like, touches them, and then he sees like a reflection of himself and starts like beating on his own reflection, which, like, felt. And we get back in the present.
Mm-hmm.
And their salvage workers they're dismantling what I believe was one of the Republic, I forget what are they Star Destroyers in the Clone Wars? Whatever the Republic version of Star Destroyer was, I think they were taking apart one of those.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they were called Star Destroyer. This sounds a little...
It sounds a little not Republic-y, but also, I don't know.
Don't remember.
I'll look it up now because that's going to bother me. And also your dad. Ooh, I'm sure. Tell us.
I'm also looking. Because I'm also like, it's something.
It's something. Were they just capital ships?
It says, is a capital ship. But what were they called in... The Clone Wars.
I think that's what it was. It might have not been even been that, but I'm pretty sure it was a Republic Star Destroyer.
Which sounds so...
It sounds not like something the Republic would would do.
Liberator.
They call them, Republic Attack Cruisers, Republic Star Cruisers, Republic Jedi Cruisers.
That sounds better than...
Star Destroyers. They, I guess they like became Star Destroyers when the Empire took over, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
They're taking apart one of those, I think. And then it was I forget his name, but the major bro from episode 1, Bossa or whatever. They're talking to him. And Cassian's like, oh, like, I'm leaving, don't worry about it. And he's like, I'll be back, which you probably won't. And then we get back to Luthen, and the ship lands, and that guy is still talking. He's like, oh, like, there's this hotel you should try. You better watch out for pickpockets here. Like, he's, I really want to know. I want an episode of just that ride on the shuttle. Just, that was, it's just, again, just peak humor. Just very human, funny moment. Yeah, I really want to know how long that ride was. Because I didn't get the impression it was terribly long. But I'm sure it felt like it. yeah, this is very, like, they get off the ship and he's still talking. This is very, it's just like one of those, it's funny. And then, so Luthen meets up with Bix. I believe it's the background of this scene where, sorry, Steel. The background of the scene is where my absolute favorite extra in all of Star Wars is. Do you know what I'm talking about? I mentioned him when I talked about him after the premiere.
You said something I never, like, I even, like, tried looking at the back. Okay. I don't know.
Literally, okay, I need to. Okay. There's a crazy-ass moment in Star Wars history. The Twitter account posted a video of him. He's in the background. I'm pretty sure the background of the scene where Bix and Luthen are walking. He's also this extra, because he's a very specific look. He's in a couple different scenes in the background, just walking around, turning his head, just because I noticed him pretty much right away in, like, one of the first episodes. And every time he was in the background, I was like, that guy is so weird looking. But then he did this in the background of the scene, and that just elevated him to top tier extra status. I sent you a link.
A link?
Yes. To a video.
Oh, on my phone.
Because when I was in the premiere, because this is on the right side of the screen, and I was on the right side of the theater, and I was very close to the screen, so he was, like, very much right in my eye line. And, like, my part of the theater laughed. And the other parts were probably like, what the hell? Yeah, did you see the video?
Why is he hopping?
I don't know, but it's amazing.
Maybe you're just laughing at him and he has problems with his knees, or he cannot. Maybe he can only hop places.
No, but he walks in other shots.
He got out of character.
Yeah, anyway, this is my absolute favorite. Because he walks up to the ledge and then looks both ways and then jumps to the little bunny hop off the curb. It's really funny. I'm going to retweet it on Star Wars Geek Girl so everyone knows what I'm talking about. So go to Star Wars Geek Girl Twitter, SW Geek Girl, and look for a video I retweeted. Because, I mean, come on. So funny. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to talk about that because I feel like I was, like, waiting for people to start talking about it, and no one did until, like, a couple of days after. And I'm just so glad he's getting the attention he deserves. He's just so funny. Uh-huh. And his face is, like, look at his face. It's, like, a weird smile thing. I don't know. I just had to mention that. I love him. Thank you. He's so funny. I hope everyone in the whole world sees it.
Thanks.
Anyway. Luthen meets up with Bix and she warns him that they're looking for Cassian. And Bix at this point does not know that they've identified Cassian specifically. She just says they're looking for someone from Canary. She doesn't realize that they know Cassian is Cassian. She does know that he did it. What the thing there. The reason they're looking for someone, like, she knows he did it. So they meet in this, like, warehouse thing. And this was a scene I saw five times when I went to see Rogue One for the theater release in five times. I was like, oh, I know this. I've seen this part. But so they get to the warehouse. Meanwhile, the Primor start to, they get in their little like ships, because they have like, they take a big ship to go to the planet, and then they get in little ships to go down. And we go back to another flashback, and Marva and her husband named Clem.
We have, it is her husband?
Wikipedia says it's her husband.
Also, that makes so much more sense for episode 4. Sorry, I'm not going to spoil episode 4, but okay, yeah. Hold on.
Her husband, right. Yeah, her husband, Clem. So we can
assume... I was like, Clem is such a dumb name. What is...
Of all the names. No, her husband,
I won't spoil episode 4.
Marva's husband is named Clem. We can assume when Luthen says later in this episode, when he talks about Cassian's father being hung in the town square on Ferrix, I think we can assume it was Clem.
Mm-hmm.
So Marva, Clem, and B2, and B2 is in a little better condition. And he doesn't, B2 stutters for like Dio in the present, but in this flashback, he does not. But Marva, Clem, and B2 get on the ship to try and get like salvage from it. But they have it's like they have 20 minutes because it's radioactive or whatever from the, mm-hmm. the yellow gas. So trying to get like fuel their scavengers at some point, but they don't want to spend too long because like the Republic's gonna come with left. But they hear a banging and Clem is like, let's get out here. Marva's like, no, I want to see what it is. And they find Cassa banging, just like
breaking things,
destroying everything. Just really, you know, kids be like that when they're left unattended.
Well, also he just like probably feels guilty for the killing of that girl. So,
and also like it's one of these people that, you know, killed her. So definitely anger, but also, you know, kids be like that.
Yeah, I'd be like that.
But B2 says that like there's a Republic frigate coming, and Marva is like, we gotta get him out of here. Like the Republic's gonna think he killed one of their officers, is gonna kill him. So Marva like drugs him.
Yeah, she like him. Grabs the like my she, like, dad had a photo and it was just him getting like absolutely grabbed and just shot in.
Yeah. Which is interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure if how much they're gonna dress. Like she did kidnap him, take from people, even though she had good intentions. I believe she had good intentions. But it's like, you know, how does Cassian feel about that? Like he clearly does love and respect Marva.
Yeah.
Like he tells B2 to tell Marva he's sorry when he leaves.
Which
he gets angry when Luthen mentions Clem. Like he's clearly attached to these people and considers them family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how does he feel about being taken from people? Like he's looking for his sister. He clearly still feels connected to that.
So, yeah, I talked about it a bit with my dad even before when like I just saw the episode, and I was like, that was an interesting thing, because again, like this show like kind of, you know, is trying to make it like apparent that it's like, yeah, this stuff happens in here, it happens in real life, blah blah blah. But it reminded me of like, you know, when people do think, like, I mean, at the time, you know, colonizers were taking like Native American children from their families and blah blah blah. To be fair, again, I want to address that Marva probably isn't doing it as like a way to colonize or to like, you know, try to change this child or whatever. She definitely was trying to protect him and blah blah blah, and you know, in her own way. But it's still a little weird because it's like she's taking this whole child away from his home. Like she didn't even think, let's take him back to his like family. Like that wasn't a thought. It was more so just take the kid. And even Clem was like, don't take the kid, why would you take it? Like he has people here. Like which is also interesting to add because he is a person of color. The whole thing is kind of like interesting to me. And then I'm not trying to reach, but it's a little like a little strange. And I like, obviously, like you said, he's definitely respects Marva and definitely like, you know, with Clem possibly being the father, like, and stuff, father figure in his life, like, he really loves them, you know, over time, maybe, but, like, you can see it now, he's trying to find his own family, and, I mean, that's what a lot of people in real life are trying to do now, because they've been taken away from their families, and, like, they're trying to reconnect with their own culture and their families, and, like, they can't do that sometimes, because, like, it, you know, they were taken, like, along, like, their grandparents were taken a while ago, so they can't really do that reconnecting and things like that. But I thought it was interesting, and also I thought it wasn't funny, but so she just took this kid, stabbed him, and it was like, all right, let's go. Just like picked him up. But yeah, I think that was interesting. And you know, when I was talking to my dad about it, he was like, well, you know, he's alive, he survived, like, who knows if he could have actually died if he did stay, but, you know, it's what Marva thought was best at the time. And, you know, that's true. I just thought the connection there was interesting, especially interesting to just talk about in general, because, I mean, it's still happening, and then, like even an episode that I watched from like it was Atlanta, that Childish Gambino, I think he's a director on there, like he writes a good amount of the episodes, Donald Glover, and he did one very specific, and my dad does this sometimes where if he wants to show me an episode, he'll just wait for me to be in the room on my phone and he'll just put on an episode, but it's very specific. And it's one that was about this kid who was, it was this black kid. He was taken from his family because they assumed that he was getting abused at home, which technically he was, but it, at this point, I think it was more so a different cultural aspect of what different people think is what, and it was a messy situation in general, but these people took him from his family, put him in up for adoption, and you know, these two white women came and adopted him, which is great, fine, he got adopted, but then they exploited him, I guess is the word. I think they were adopting a lot of kids of color. They're adopting a lot of them, and they were using them to do the chores and to pick things and like to sell things, and you know, they would like try to take away their own culture and be like, no, you don't want to eat that, that's gross, that's bad for you, that's unhealthy, you know, we're not going to use your name here, we're going to use a different name because I can't say that name. Like it's kind of stuff like that where it's like, even like Cassian, I'm sure it's changed because he needs an identity change. Like, you know, when he put his place of birth as like a different planet, but it's all these little aspects that are like, yikes. but also again, it's not for the reason that it is, but it's interesting thing to look at. And the like culture change and like the having to move away from his family, like having to learn English and stuff, is all like probably very scary for this kid, especially he just got trucked and taken, and he doesn't like, yeah, it was an interesting thing to me, and I liked looking into it because I was like, oh wow, it's like this and it's like this. I don't know, that was my little spiel. But I thought it was cool. And also, again, I love Marva. She did everything right, you know, in her way, and how she was like, hey, these people are going to be coming soon, let's take the kid, you know. So Nothing against Marva. Just a thing like I noticed and wanted to share.
Yeah, I mean, I think I am curious to see how they address it going forward. Like everything with Kanari, even like why does Cassian believe his sister's not on Kanari? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like why would those kids not still be there? Everything, and I'm curious to see like if and how we address how Cassian feels about it. And it's like you said, like Marva did everything right in, you know, in the way she perceives. And it's another element of the show being like everyone's human and they mm-hmm. have their own backgrounds, and you know, and most people, like, I don't know, even people who are doing bad, I think, at least the way I feel about it, even, you know, fiction and real life, everyone,
they think they're doing
good. They're doing right. Mm-hmm. Everyone is trying to do the best they can. You know, and it's, you know, who you are and your experiences and everything shape what right means to you. And I think the show is demonstrating that really well with Marva, with Cassian, with Luthen, with Cyril, with everyone. Bix, mm-hmm. even Tim, like, you know, I don't know.
Rest in peace. So not really.
Rest in pieces. This show is so good. And the writing, yeah. the character writing especially, is phenomenal.
Yes.
Also,
I like Clem. But I don't like his name. I like him. I don't like his name.
Yeah, he seems neat. I'm curious to see. I don't think we got really any flashbacks in episode 4. Mm-hmm. So I hope we get some more so we can get a little more background on Cassian's childhood and, you know, what it was like with Marva and Clem. And again, like, what the hell is going on with Kanari? Because, like, there was this, like, all these kids are abandoned before the Clone Wars. And then there's an Imperial mining accident. And, like, these kids yeah. are off-world. Like, did the Republic come and find these kids? And did the Republic resume mining operations?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so
much. I also want to see, like...
So many questions.
You know, they show at the end, like... I think it was episode 3, but they show like him waking up from mm-hmm. all the drugs she injected him in.
Right.
And like, I wonder, like, I just want to see like his reaction and like how he had to adapt and how she taught him how to mm-hmm. do these things, like teaching English and, well, I guess they're
basic.
What's it called? Basic. Yeah. Like how that went. Because that's also just cool to see, because he, you know, well, he becomes an immigrant in a foreign place, and it's a scary thing, especially for a little kid who like had family, and now it's he has a new family now kind of mm-hmm. thrusted upon him. So I would think it's cool to see if they show that at all. But yeah. Yeah, love Marva though, still do. Yes,
after these flashbacks we get to the Primor landing on Ferrix in the scrapyard, and as soon as the workers see them, things start moving. So they kind of leave their work and start like kind of warning people, and we get, you know, before they left this planet, they were told like people there don't like interference, they have their own way of doing things, and we mm-hmm. see that. And I think from this point on the show, from this point on in this episode, is so phenomenal. Like, I don't know, like I left the premiere being like, that was the best Star Wars like I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it as my favorite, but I think this show is easily probably one of the best, if that yeah. makes any sense.
Yes.
Like, Rebels is still my baby, but like, oh my god, Andor. They go to Marva's house first and meet people like, you're like, what are you bothering this old woman for? Like, there's again like a very strong sense of community here.
Yeah,
like everyone knows Marva. They, and even like, you know, she's like we kind of guess, and she's like a landlord or something from Cassian being asked to ask her to turn up the heat, and so there's obviously a little bit you know, there's a first, like, there's a reason people would not be a fan of her, but still, everyone of me is like, why are you bothering Marva? She's an old lady, like, leave her alone.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's also not like a mean landlord.
No, too, I'm sure so... she's not, but they're still like, come on, Marva, turn up the heat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're like rip Cassie's room apart.
Yeah, that's what was weird to me, because I was like, dude, like, he's like, not in the drawer. Just
he's not there. And also, like, I don't know what, like, he's not there. And also, I don't know what, like, do they think he kept a journal? Like, today I killed two officers.
Yeah.
Like what do you think? Like, it was like, I don't know, like, there's no evidence that pointed to the murder. Because that's what it was. I mean, premeditated. Like, you do, like, you know what I mean? Like, he, yeah. I don't know. Like, today it's I killed just... two officers. And then I did more crimes. And then, like...
this is crime number one.
He has a list of every crime. He has a little scrapbook. His little crime scrapbook.
Yeah. I thought, like... But it's also, you know, like... Oh, yay, again, like, real life, because, you know, the police, like, they do everything they can to try to show that they have power, mm-hmm. you know, like, and that was a way to, like, scare Marva in general, or just to find something, like, another thing to get him in trouble for, even though killing two people is already enough, but it's just, like, they have this, like, I don't know what, why, but, you know, they just, even now, like, I'm not gonna go into that, but it, like, in the show, they just, like, they want to show some kind of sense of power. Like, even when Marva was just gonna close the door, like, they grab her hand, they push her to the side, they, like, go in with full force. You know, even the, like, the guy who I thought was supposed to be this representation of, like, good in a corrupted place, was already, he was corrupted. He just wanted to get the mission done any way possible, which, and he was, like, telling Marva to shut up, and that was, like, that was supposed to just, you know, it's a scare tactic to scare Marva and, like, anyone, and probably Cassian, if he were to come back. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was so, so funny when, like, you know, he, Cassian, here it is, he gave B a little communicator, and he starts talking to B, and he's like, B, are you there? B, anyway, I'm going to talk anyway. So, tell Marva.
And like, oh, they managed to trace them. The signal. It yeah. also, it's, I was, I don't know, I'm sure it was intentional. It was a very nice parallel to that's exactly how K2SO gets found out in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the stormtroopers go up to him and Katie's like, oh, the rebels, they went that way. And then Cassian comes through in the comms.
He did not learn. So,
Cassian, if someone doesn't answer, stop talking.
It's kind of like Bail, where like Bail in Obi-Wan was like, hey, you're not responding.
Here's all the information.
I'm gonna go to Tatooine to get this kid. You know it's Darth Vader's kid, right? Yeah, okay, so we're cool. All right. And then like so bad. I like
to be fair, at least Bail was like planning on taking action. Like he was going to Tatooine.
Yeah, but Cassie was like, hey, by the way, I'm at this area. You don't even need to trace me, just let me tell you.
Yeah, so then they leave. I think they leave one or two people with Marva.
Two, yeah.
And Marva and B2. Yeah, because, like, one of them has, like, his blaster on B2 the whole time. One is one of Marva. It's like, man. It's like, Marva's literally sitting in a chair.
Yeah, what is she going to do? I'm just saying. Like she probably could do something, but what's she going to do?
She could. But, yeah. So, meanwhile, it's like a crowd gathers outside of Marva's house and they start and the Pre-More have their little plan. They're going to go to the warehouse where Cassian and Luthen are. And then they have their little conversation in the warehouse. Cassian's trying to sell his little box thing, mm-hmm. That can track Imperials or whatever. and they, you know, this is a scene where, again, if you saw Rogue One in theaters, we did see this before. Luthen is like, you know, asking him how to do it. Cassie does his little thing, and he's like, just walk in.
Just walk in like you belong.
Right. It was great. I don't even want to try and say it because I'm screwing it, but you got to hear Diego Luna say it.
Yes.
And, you know, such a great show of, I don't know, the show does a really good job of, like, yeah, like, the Imperials, and by extension, the Primor, suck and hurt people, but they're also fairly incompetent when it comes to a lot of things because they're so arrogant. It's such an interesting dichotomy that I really like seeing explored. And I think, like, a lot of Star Wars looks at it, but I think the way Andor does it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Then, meanwhile, Bix finds out some guy, I don't know who he was, he's just, like, a friend of Cassian's, I guess. He runs up and he's like, hey, like, the Primor are in Marva's house and they're looking for Cassian specifically. And Bix is like, oh, like, we need to find out who betrayed Cassian. And then Tim, who wasn't in the earshot of the conversation but figured out what was going on, walks up and he's like, hey, Cassian could take care of himself.
Yeah, that's where I was like, you fudged up, bro.
It was like, it was, that was the America moment in Multiverse of Madness. Like, oh no, like, you're not supposed to know that. Bix realizes what happened.
Yeah.
And gets very mad, and they run off to try and help Cassian. And then, so, and this is when we get, like, real talks about, like, the fact that, like, Clem was hanged by the Empire, like, trying to get Cassian to join him. Cassian, like, puts the gun on his face, not even, like, pointing at him, like, it's literally touching his face. It's, yeah, like, it's a little excessive. But he's like, don't you want to fight these bastards for real? It's like, awesome. Cassian's like, why would I ever choose to go somewhere with you? Meanwhile, and this was, I think, probably my favorite part of the whole episode, as people are realizing, like, the Primor are here and they're trying to hurt people, like, some of the businesses start locking up and people start, they have, like, little, like, pans or chimes or random metal things hanging around different buildings, and people start going to them and, like, banging on them repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And as when, you know, and they're like, when someone hears one banging, they go to the one near them and start. And it's like a very, it's a community effort. It was cool. I am always a sucker for in Star Wars when it's like everyone comes together to fight the tyranny, like Rise of Skywalker, Return of the Jedi, Rebels finale, like always. It always gets me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's so much the core of what Star Wars is. So getting to see that on a smaller level, but still very important, yeah, was really cool. And I should have saved the tweet, but I saw something going around about how it was, it's like a reference to something. It started with the C. I can't remember. It was, I don't want to.
Huh?
It was something. I thought it was really cool. Anyway, they're banging, and so throughout the whole city, it's a constant banging. That's when we get Marva saying, like, this is what a reckoning sounds like. And the Primor are like, oh, it's a intimidation tactic, which, like, maybe a little bit, but it's also, like, the community warning each other and protecting each other.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool. I can't find it. Okay. Anyway, so they realize what's happening. Oh, and also Rail, or Luthen, he realizes Cassian has a comlink and distorts. He's like, you don't bring a comlink. They can track you. Cassian's like, what? He's like, you never bring anything, like, you can't control. You know, he's new. He's still new at this.
Yeah, he's getting there.
But, so, the Primor are surrounding them. And Andrew's like, Cassian's like, how are we going to get out? And Luthen blows up the door She says, always build your exit on your way in. We love Lupin.
Yes. He's a professional.
Yeah. And then from there, it's, you know, Vix is running to try and find Cassian. She gets caught by some Primor. And even though they have no reason, like you said earlier, it's very much a parallel to real police brutality. Even though they have no reason to bother, like she's just a woman running. They handcuff her to a pipe. They bash her head against the wall. Like,
Yeah, and even then, like, I think I mentioned it way before, but like a good amount of their men are, well, first of all, just to address, they're all human. Like, usually, in like we kind of see you, well, I guess we always see, I always never want to say like something for certain because I know someone out there is going to be like, actually. But anyway, so like we usually don't see a lot of aliens in general in like, first of all, their own company thingy, whatever they are, police department there. And then we also don't see them much in the Empire either.
I think we see like Thrawn.
Yeah.
Rook.
Again, this is why I don't say.
Oh, like the Inquisitors, I guess. Yeah. But like very specific people.
Mm-hmm. So like, and then the fact that, you know, when he was giving that speech, a good amount of them, they were all like Caucasian. Then there's this one, like, I don't know if he's African-American, but I don't know his ethnicity, the actor himself, but he's a person of color, and he's the one leading this little group. And, you know, they're like, get her, and they try to cuff her, they're roughing her up. And he's the one being like, hey guys, stop, like, you did enough, calm down. But of course, one, they don't listen, and then two, Tim comes up because Tim is dumb and didn't think that he would get any repercussions for anything. You know, he comes up and he's like, don't touch her, like, don't beat her up, like, what's wrong with you, like. And the guy, you know, they're telling him not to move forward, not to come closer. And I don't think the other guy would have shot him, like the leader, I don't think the leader would have shot him, but then, you know, one of his guys and his team shoots Tim and kills him. That was a shot. That was a kill shot. And that's where the leader was like, dude, I told you not to, like, there's this mess now. Like, what, why did you, you know what, just go back to the ship. So like, it's also kind of an interesting thing to see, and it was very specific, and I see it, I see you. And it's just, it was definitely like hit close to home, and I was like, wow, that's intense. That was that whole, like, Tim is dead, hooray, but also scary. So yeah, that was just, that wasn't even like Star Wars is a, and I said before, I keep repeating myself, but Star Wars is this thing where like a good amount of, like, they point out these issues, but it's never like in your face. But like with this, it's like, look at this. This is a problem. We see it in real life. It's literally a problem. We're not just saying, we're not like making little metaphors anymore. Like, look at this. This is the thing. This is the thing that happens. Come on, guys. So like, it's scary. It was a scary moment. And thankfully Bix afterwards was okay. Probably had like a concussion, but
I think they even said she had a concussion.
Yeah. So it was a scary moment. Like, I don't care about anything Darth Vader killing a bunch of people in the hallway. That to me was scary. That's where I was like, wow, that's okay. So yeah, that was a scene. But anyway, it's okay, because then later that guy who goes back to the ship who my dad says did not make correct decisions, our very, very lovely boy from the first episode. I don't remember his name. But he himself looks like a Tim.
Brasso.
I know he's not a Tim. Yeah.
Brasso.
He is a construction worker there, and he ties that ship to like a pole, like the and so when the officer takes off, he's stuck. And of course the thought was not land. The thought was keep going. Just keep going until I get free, I guess. And then he dies. So all worked out in the end, I guess. Yeah. Evened out.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of moments like that, like the community coming together and stuff. And then so we get like the little shootout in the warehouse thing, and there's like all the chains and stuff flying. They don't recover the box that Cassie was trying to sell them, but they
that
do escape.
Like Vader's little box.
It does not look like Vader's little box. It looks like a part of the wall.
Up close.
The and so they, so Cassian and Luthen, well, they find, so like all the different Primor like waiting for them to come out. They go out through like a little side exit and they find Cyril waiting for them. And Luthen's like, kill him. But Cassian instead just takes his blaster and crushes his comlink and then like ties him up after asking like, how many people do you bring with you? Blah, blah, blah.
He exposed. He was not. He didn't even try.
No, no, absolutely not. This guy, we definitely get the sense from earlier too, like this guy has not been in like a firefight. Like yeah. This is an office guy who's joining the fight to feel cool. And or maybe not to feel cool. Like I think he does genuinely believe, like, he's helping and doing the right thing, but he's not ready for it. But yeah, he doesn't fight back at all. He's immediately cowers.
He's like, yeah, 12. I mean, 14 people. Yeah.
And Luthen wants to kill him, but Cassian does not. And then they find two speeders. So there's one, it looks like a car. It's like a bit more closed. And Luthen's like, Cassian's like, do you have any of those explosives left? And then we cut to that car flying around the down the street. All the Primor are shooting it. The car like flips. The speeder like flips after they manage to flip it. And they're all like, yeah, we did it. And they run over to check the wreckage. And then it explodes. And Cassian and Luthen come flying out on a little bike. And they get to escape. And then Cyril comes out looking very... frazzled and angry. Mm-hmm. This is some very great acting on the actor's part. Yeah. Oh, and also I forgot to mention, so the Primor are all waiting for Cassian and Luthen to come out, and the banging stops. And it's like, and it was like you had gotten so used to it that when it stops, it's like, oh man.
It's scary down. Silent. Yeah.
Then Luthen and Cassian go out. They go across like plains and go all the way back out to Luthen's ship. And then we get flashback cutting back and forth between Luthen and Cassian flying away, and then baby Cassa flying out in the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. So good. I also forgot to mention the music at the end of episode 2 is crazy good.
Yeah, I usually don't really notice music. I'm really bad with, I'm not musically inclined. I don't know what the word is. But the music is really good. I also wanted to mention, I keep thinking that the logo, when it comes up, I keep thinking we're going to a planet, and I'm like, oh, this is an interesting scene. Where are we going?
every single time,
and I'm like, oh wait, no, it's
that Tander. title sequence is so good. Yeah, I think the music at the end of episode 2, like the music in the last shot, which, By the way, the last shot of episode 2, I got a little emotional because that was the very first picture of Andor, the series being filmed, we got years ago.
Yeah.
Which was awesome to, like, see it and be like, oh, man, like, we finally have it, you know? Because this was announced not terribly long after Rogue One. And we have it, we just get it now. Which is really good. But yeah, the music of the episode 2 is jamming. It's really good.
Yes.
Drums.
But I was going to say something. I forgot. Oh, they should have like a one episode where it's like the Andor thing comes up, but it's with an E, an Andor.
Andor.
Yeah. But yeah, then I think the last thing we kind of see is like the flashback of him waking up, right?
Yeah, the flashback of him waking up, and it goes like back and forth, I think, between like right before that is like Cassian leaving with Luthen. So it's very similar to like Mando and Grogu flying away, and it flashbacks to like little Mando flying away.
Mm-hmm.
Very cute.
Yes, I thought it was so, because I can't think, there's so many things that I thought was going to happen that, like, didn't happen, but, like, because she's, like, Marva is in there, and she's, like, she looks back at him and smiling, which I thought was very cute, but also I would be horrified if I was Cassian, I was Cassa, and I'd be like, oh my god, there's a lady, where am I, but whatever.
What is happening?
But it was a sweet little moment, and I really thought that they were going to switch over and Luthen was going to turn and, like, smile at him as well.
That would be, oh, man, I wish that happened. That would be really funny.
And I was like, oh, they didn't do it. Okay. But, yeah. That
would be really funny. Yeah, this is we finally got through the first 3 episodes. This has been a little long, and I know you need to get going, so we will...
Yes, but we
podcast
did.
...podcast about... episode 4 another time, hopefully before episode 5 comes out, because then we can be like caught up.
Yes.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. You can find Star Wars Geek Girl at SWGeekGirl on Twitter and Instagram. StarWarsGeekGirl.com is the website where I do writings and things. There's a poll each month. And obviously, oh, Facebook page is Star Wars Geek Girl. That's what it was. You can follow me at Spectre_5. On Instagram and TikTok, and at Azoika on Twitter.
I will mention my stuff some other time, because I can't remember it all. It's all Rogue Rebel Sabine, but, like, anyway. I'm also going to try to post more on TikTok, because I just want
to. I'm going to post more on TikTok, too. I've been, like, but I'm, like, so... like anal about stuff. I've been like, okay, I'm gonna plan out all my TikToks. I have a spreadsheet and stuff.
Yeah, that's
like,
I can't
just like, oh, I'm a big TikTok. I'm like,
and right, I'm just gonna dance for 15 seconds.
Right. Well, I can't dance. No one wants to see that, believe me.
We should do a dance, but as Sabine's.
Sabine dance. I did do one dance in Sabine. And it was really bad because I can't dance. Find that.
You can dance in that one game.
What?
That one game that has
Star Wars. Oh, the dance songs? The Kinect. Yeah, Kinect Star Wars game. I can do some Kinect Star Wars dance for sure.
Yes. Just do that. Like, go to a club and then just memorize that dance.
Go to the club and turn up to I'm Han Solo.
Yes. Okay. But anyway, I want to start posting more on TikTok, but it's all like drawings, and that means I have to actually draw, which I love drawing, but like sometimes I'm like, man, I can't be doing the same animation for 2 seconds.
You surely can.
I could, but
who's gonna stop you?
My brain. Art block. Okay. The Rogue Rebels plucks, because that's all I know right now. TheRogueRebels.com. My dad does a bunch of stuff on there. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool dude. Instagram/TikTok @TheRogueRebels. Twitch @RogueRebels. podcast, wherever you're listening to Star Wars Geek Girl. If you go on Spotify, my dad is very proud. If you want Clone Wars, you can go to the Clone Wars part of the podcast. He has like little folders and stuff, and they all have different logos. He's very proud.
It's true. I've seen it.
Yeah, we got a witness. Facebook page, The Rogue Rebels, and Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fam.
All right. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening to Star Wars Geek Girl. Please check out all the things. Like I said, I posted an article about Saw's hair today. I posted a book review yesterday, and there's a quiz currently. If you can match up the year to what Star Wars came out that year, you can check that out. Check out all the things. Again, thank you so much for listening. I was Zoe.
I was Lizzie.
May the Force be with you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.